How are you feeling today?
Oh, not bad.
Any aches and pains over the weekend? You know,
oh,
you do
yeah,
some activities.
Sure.
Sometimes Monday you realize, what did I just do over the weekend? And you have to realize certain things cause things. But if you have chronic pain, you try to have to sort of live with it. But there's things that we can do to maybe alleviate some of it. And we have with us a little bit of help. It's the Everything Guide to Integrative Pain Management. And our guest this morning is the author. It is clinical psychologist Dr. Tracy Stein, former director of integrated medicine at Columbia University Medical Center. Good morning. Good morning, Tracy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What are we integrating for this pain management?
So when we talk about integrative, we talk about using the best of a variety of different therapies that are tailored to the person to help them feel better. So an example of an integrative treatment for, say, somebody like somebody who has migraines would be maybe having a neurologist prescribe a medication, but also recommend a nutritional therapy like magnesium, which has been shown to help with migraines. It might also involve using something like acupuncture or seeing a therapist like myself for hypnosis or cognitive behavioral therapy. And things people can do on their own, like yoga or meditation. So all of these things together have a better chance of helping a person reduce their pain and distress than sometimes doing just one thing alone.
Doctor, you're right. 1 in 3 Americans suffer from chronic pain. To me, it seems like that number is incredibly high. Why is that?
Yeah, it was surprising to me as well. But we have a lot of different reasons why people are, I think, in more pain now than ever. And one is that we tend to be much more inactive these days. And we know that being sedentary increases the risk of muscle and skeletal pain and joint pain. We know that being overweight is a risk factor. People are often working 2 in 3 jobs. And the stress we know causes an increase in pain and worsens pain for people who already have a condition. Low levels of vitamin D, we spend too much time inside. There are a lot of reasons why people could have chronic pain.
The book you have is described as a one-stop resource for building a unique plan for your pain. So I guess as an individual, everything is unique to that person. How do we get the right balance and who do we go to get all that information?
Well, the reason I wrote the book is to make it kind of like a manual and a starting place and a guidebook, because there are so many different therapies that could be helpful, and it can be challenging to sift through the information and see what would be good for you. I mean, the logical first step for most people is to see a pain specialist, so a physician who's board certified in pain. And that somebody could be from a variety of different disciplines, whether a neurologist or a physiatrist, et cetera. But also just identifying what it is that you need to change to increase the comfort in your body and decrease distress, and then coming up with a very specific set of goals. So if part of your pain management plan is, say, to lose weight, coming up with a strategy for doing that very gradually and allowing for yourself to have some variability along the way. You wouldn't run a marathon by starting out running 26 miles, and you wouldn't do that with any other behavior change either. You'd want to have concrete, specific, achievable goals.
Do you find Americans are coming around more to alternative treatments such as hypnosis and acupuncture?
Definitely. You know, we spend probably more than $40 billion a year out of pocket on alternative treatments, and about 40% of the population will admit to having used some sort of alternative treatment in the previous year. So alternative therapies use is very high, and it's higher among people with a medical illness or chronic pain.
Is the pain in our brain? Is the pain at the point of the pain, I guess, is the question.
It's really both. So you couldn't feel pain at all without having a brain. Your brain is the thing that makes sense of and interprets every experience. But we do know that there's input from the body to the brain. So if you stub your toe or you have a wound that doesn't heal or you have nerve damage, that's a signal sent to your brain. But your brain also interprets and modifies the experience. So we know from the research that if you do something like meditation or yoga, even listening to your favorite music very attentively, that can kind of turn down the volume on pain.
I am interested in the pain labels. Craig, I'm looking at this too, and you know, because that's, how do you describe how you're feeling or how the pain is? You know, I've seen where they give you maybe a pain scale. How are you feeling 1 to 10? And you kind of have to randomly come up with, you know, a number. And then these different pain labels. I've like sharp and throbbing. One's that interesting, squeezing pain. That's kind of a unique one. Or crushing. Or things like that. So I guess there are other adjectives that get maybe a little more fine-tuned to exactly how you're feeling.
Absolutely. And that can be a clue to what type of pain condition somebody might have. So somebody with some sort of nerve damage or neuropathic pain can have electrical, hot, stinging pain. And people also apply emotional descriptors too, like punishing or cruel. You know, pain is such a multi-sensory mind-body experience that it's not limited to just the physical. Something that is dull or throbbing or diffuse, being able to describe your pain well can help your doctor find the best treatment for you, interestingly enough.
What's the, you know, we hear a lot now where opioids have been an issue, where people have had pain and they've been prescribed something that fixes the pain, but then there becomes an addiction process. I'm wondering whether people are now becoming, maybe because of the issues that are happening, more aware of it, and from the start, they're looking for alternatives to treat the pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for many, many people, opioid pain medications don't completely get rid of pain anyway, and they have significant side effects and, as you've mentioned, potential for addiction. And so it's really important to give people more than one option for managing pain. Opioids really aren't great to be used in the long term. They're often prescribed for things that are short-term acute pain, like after, say, like a root canal or a surgery, but most people do best not being on them long term. Some people really need to be, but you know, we want to be really thoughtful about how we use them.
We don't like to be confident in the doctor we see. Is there a point, or what should determine the point where we say, you know, maybe we ought to try someone else?
So, you know, the first thing I want to say as my little disclaimer is that, you know, providers are people too, so they might have bad days or days when they forget something you mentioned at the last visit if it's a while ago. But you want to think about switching pain providers if they're rude or dismissive, if you don't get a call back about a concern in a reasonable amount of time, if they can't help you come up with both a short-term and a long-term plan for managing your pain, or they can't explain the risks and benefits of a particular treatment, you know, or if they're just not trained in pain management. There are lots of great providers, and typically we go to our general practitioner first, but you know, that might be outside of somebody's scope of practice. And if the plan they come up with isn't really the best fit for you, or it just means, here, take these opioids and I don't have anything else for you, then it's time to really see a specialist.
We are talking today with Dr. Tracy Stein. The book is The Everything Guide to Integrative Pain Management. There's something in here, it says here, how dysfunctional and self-limiting beliefs can affect both your health. Can you explain that, or what that means?
Right. So, you know, if you believe that nothing is going to help you, you're less likely to give any therapy you try a fair shot. If you believe that you can't go on living until you return to your former level of functioning, that's really a significant problem, because even if you get better, you may never return to the level of functioning or comfort that you had before, say, an accident or an injury or an illness. And it can really just get in the way of you getting on board 100% with whatever treatment you choose and agreeing to live the life that you actually have. You know, anxiety and depression also are very linked to pain severity and pain coping. And we know that, again, if you're in pain, those are likely to be higher. So it's really important to address any distress or anxiety or feelings of hopelessness you have if you want to try and get better. You know, pain management is a mind-body experience. You can't do it with only one or the other.
What about if you have somebody that you know that has chronic pain? How do you help them? What can you do to address that, to ease their pain in some way?
One thing is to be really clear about what you can and can't offer, and understand that you may never fully understand the experience of the person in pain, but being supportive might be something instrumental, like helping to pick up somebody's children from school, or helping to you know, take them to a doctor's appointment, asking very concretely, what is it that you need from me? And being honest about what you can and can't offer. So that's one way to be helpful.
Where do we start solving our pain issue? Is it, I've looked in here, things they talk about sort of posture, and there's always the talk about, you know, getting your body aligned correctly, and that maybe so everything works through the spine. How do we go, you know, what's the procedure, or is there a step-by-step for some of this?
So, you know, in the book I go into more detail about creating a plan of action. But again, focus on one or two things that you really want to change at first. You know, maybe come up with a list and prioritize it about the things you want to change and the strategies you want to use. But pick one or two things to start with at first. Otherwise, it gets overwhelming. And then commit to giving those approaches a fair shot. So I've had people come in and tell me, well, this medication doesn't work, but they only took it for a few days, and it might take 6 weeks to notice a difference. Or, you know, they tried acupuncture one time and didn't feel like the benefit was sufficient. But again, that might take a month or 6 weeks before you notice a difference. So giving something a fair shot and committing to it and being honest with yourself about what you're willing to try. You may think that yoga is the greatest therapy in the world, but if you know it's something you really don't want to do, pick something else to start with.
Find something that you can, as you say, kind of stick with, and realize that there's a, it's a gradual process. It's not an easy fix, I guess, is maybe what you should think when you go into this.
Absolutely. And, you know, just another thing is let go of comparisons to your former self and what you could do, or comparisons about how other people are doing. Just work with where you are now. You know, people can be so unkind to themselves, and there's nothing helpful about that. And understand that every day it's going to be a little different. Some days you will feel more successful than others, but you're in it for the long haul. And some of these therapies that people try, even if you don't notice a reduction in your pain, you may very much improve your overall health and your mental health. And, you know, I can't overstate the importance of just good self-care in general.
Well, when I asked at the beginning what you're integrated, a lot of times it becomes mind, body, spirit. That's sort of the
absolutely
the larger approach as opposed to specific parts of it. But it's the Everything Guide to Integrative Pain Management. It's conventional and alternative therapies for managing pain. Our guest today, Dr. Tracy Stein. Thanks for sharing all the details, and hope we can help relieve someone's pain by going checking out this book. Appreciate it.
And so thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.